Welcome to Silence the Mind Clock. I'm your host, Maria T. Finch, and I'm super glad that you're here. Get ready to quiet that mind and reap the rewards. Everyone, welcome. I am thrilled today to have Jenna Zhang from StaffNet with me. Jenna, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so happy that you're here. So to start out, tell us a bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I am an entrepreneur, obviously. I run StaffNet, so I'm one of the co-founders here. We're a SaaS product that helps small to medium businesses automate their day so they can take back their time. I'm also a mama, a wife, and I'm just trying to do it all, apparently.
Yeah, it sounds like it. It sounds like it. And so tell us a bit about your story. Like, my understanding is you started with one business and then you kind of morphed into another business. And I'm curious to hear sort of what was that progression? What were the challenges that your mind gave you as you were trying to make this leap?
Yep. So I started with a cleaning company back in 2018. And at the time I had a full-time job. This was just kind of like a little side hustle, if you will. Okay. So I went into it with a friend of mine. We were both co-owners. Well, there was four of us to start with and two fell off. And so it was just the two of us, which was better in the long run. Too many chefs in the kitchen, you know?
Yeah.
So we had this small business and we thought it's going to be really easy. We're going to get the product. We're going to get employees and we're going to get contracts. Simple, right? Not so simple. And then because of my background working in corporate jobs throughout, since I entered the workforce, I basically fell into that admin role really easily. So then all of a sudden I'm doing all of these back end tasks to keep the day-to-day operations running for our cleaning business, which as tedious as they were, they're very important as well.
Right.
So there was a bit of a pain point with that. So that's 2018. We start the company. In 2019, I reached out to a developer with the co-founder. His name is Dwayne. So we both own both businesses together. Uh-huh. And we had some developers that we knew. They put together a wireframe, which is like a template of what our ideal software would be to alleviate the pain points that we were facing. So the main pain points we were facing were the fact that our employees weren't showing up on time. And when they did show up to a job, the scope of work wasn't being performed accurately. So then the clients would come back and there would be issues and then we'd have to return, which is more work. It's a headache. Additional issues we were facing was just miscommunication. We were tracking inventory on a different platform. We had a CRM on a different platform. And then we had payroll and time tracking on a different platform. So as a small business, we were paying for all of these subscriptions to run a business, which we live in a subscription society nowadays,
right? True. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But with such a small business, such overhead that we had, high overhead, I should say, I was trying to minimize what we were expending. So my pain point I wanted to alleviate was to create my perfect software and app that I could use for my own personal business to help me. So we were just creating it for ourselves, our cleaning business at the time. We didn't have a name for it. It was just our little software, our little project. Yeah. So we were building that. And then, there was just like an aha moment one day where I realized, out of 7 billion people in this world, I'm not the only one struggling with this exact issue.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah. So from there, we started to do a beta test because I wanted to see, is the market too saturated? Because, we're not reinventing the wheel. There are scheduling systems out there. There's inventory systems, there's CRMs and stuff. What could be our unique selling point? And the fact that we weren't going into it with revenue in mind, trying to make money, it came from our hearts, essentially. Like, this was a passion project for us. So our unique selling point was we are the first flat rate scheduling app. So what flat rate means is what you see is what you're going to pay. with a lot of different apps nowadays, it's there's a rate, and then on top of that, you pay per employee.
Right.
So if you work with a business with high turnover, like in the cleaning industry, for example, our team could go from 20 to 15 to maybe 30 if we have an upcoming job. So I never knew what our bill was going to be, and that was really frustrating. And then I was paying the other subscriptions as well, right?
Right.
So we came in and we said, we're just going to charge one flat rate, really, really low, and do something like really, really well, essentially, right? So we put all of our ideas, our passion into creating StaffNet. And it just kind of happened organically, if you will, because the beta test went really well. So then we went into our launch phase, creating hype about, you know, releasing the product. And then we ended up releasing in October of last year.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's amazing. Well, so what were your mind clock challenges as you were developing either one of these businesses? Because I know, you know, I'm also an entrepreneur, and I think like our minds can be our biggest enemies, especially when we're trying to create something new. Mm-hmm. So what challenges did you face?
So definitely entering the tech realm was really, really scary because I didn't see myself having a seat at this table, right? I thought I was underqualified, which I was. and I, you know, essentially had no background in tech whatsoever. So I had like no business being in this business in a way, right? So imposter syndrome was huge for a long time. And I felt really afraid to put myself out there and announce what I was doing, to share what I was doing with my friends and family, so much so that I didn't even tell my grandparents until after we had launched. They had no idea about the business at all, the software. They knew about the cleaning business. But with that, it was just a lot of feelings of vulnerability, and people will judge me. And if this fails, then I'm a failure. So I was taking that on. So a lot of weight carried around with the success of it. But what I learned through the process is I define my own success ultimately, right? It's not defined by anybody else. So if I'm hitting these milestones that I'm creating for myself and I'm keeping myself accountable, then I am successful. So it doesn't matter what the other people are saying. So, you know, silencing the mind clock, like silencing the noise, right? Yeah. And that's where I had to get to, was the noise is going to distract you from where you're going to go or want to go ultimately, right? People's doubts, fears, and it's coming from a place of love and caring from like friends and family, but a lot of that is really heavy to carry around. So I'm still working to shed it. There's still times where, you know, people won't ask about the business and the family because they might not seem interested, or they'll be like, is this even a real job? So it kind of circles back quite a bit, but it's constantly reminding yourself why you're showing up for yourself.
So do you have particular exercises, or like, do you use a journal? What are your methods for kind of quieting your mind and keeping your focus where you want your focus to be, as opposed to going down, I call it a mind clock spiral.
Totally. Yeah. So for me, habits are huge. I need to stay focused and stay on a schedule. And if I'm not on that schedule, I'm way off, right? So I like to wake up early in the morning. I putter in the morning. I kind of putter around a little bit. Yeah. And then I get my coffee ready and all that stuff. But basically from there, I start my day. I start journaling. So I have the 5-minute journal. I've never used it before.
Yeah.
So 5 minutes, you write down what you're grateful for, what you expect of the day, and daily affirmations. And at the end of the day, you reflect on what went really well that day and what can we improve on. So tracking these as metrics has really helped me in just like following along my path and seeing the trajectory of like where I want to go. For me as well, just creating project plans, like milestones of how I can stay on track, definitely kind of keep my vision on like the straight and narrow, because I definitely have monkey brain naturally. Mm-hmm. So I want to swing from one shiny object to another. And, you know, you have half completed projects over here and there and everywhere, right? And nothing will get done, right? So for me to be able to declutter my mind, to stay focused, you know, silence the noise and all that stuff, is staying on task through managing myself through project management, journaling, and checking in with mentors too. Numbers are huge.
Yeah, that's so great. So tell me, how did you find the mentors that you value the most?
So I would say the mentor that I value the most, he's in my past now. We don't necessarily connect nowadays because we're in different areas of business and stuff. And I don't even think that he knows that he has played such a large role in my development, which is the craziest thing. One day I'll have to share this with him.
Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, what a gift to tell him that, like that, talk about building somebody up.
Yeah. Oh yeah. This guy's incredible. So he was a manager at an old job of mine. I worked at a big Globo gym here in Canada. Uh-huh. And I was in sales and I was good at my job, but I mentioned before, like I have monkey brain, I get excited and I go from one thing to the next really easily. And so he sat me down, I was having a performance review like we did every month. And he said, "You're good, but you're not gritty." I was like, what does that mean? Like, I'm not gritty, right? And this is the first time I ever heard this, but The way I grew up in the structure of my family, my parents were divorced. So it was a broken home. I was left to my own devices. So, you know, as a child left to your own devices, what do you kind of go back to? I just sat there and watched TV. I didn't do anything with myself. So I never learned how to start and finish a project, like sports, start as a sport and finish the sport. In school, I never did really well. I skipped school and I never wanted to go to class and stuff like that. So for me, like when I heard this, it was kind of like my life was flashing before my eyes when he's speaking to this and saying, I'm not gritty, and explaining what grit is and, like, you know, persevering through doing the stuff you don't want to do because of the future outcome, right? And building up that mental fortitude to become bigger and better, and the hard stuff becomes easy eventually. And so that was a really big aha moment. I still remember that meeting, and from there he just really like molded me and guided me. We did skills every day for a part of our job. We do like 30 minutes of skills, and we do like role playing. So you and I would sit here and I would try and sell you a product, and you would come back and say, well, I'm not interested. And you have objections, and I have to overcome those objections. Right. So he was really great at pushing your buttons, but also knowing how to gently guide you as well too. So that was a huge, huge mentor in my life. And still to this day, something that I'm able to reflect on.
That's amazing. For our listeners, if you were to advise people about how to find the kind of mentor that really helps you focus on what you want to focus on, what would you suggest?
I would say find somebody that you look up to in your life, you know, like somebody that you're always in awe of. And it's not so much looking at their Instagram, their highlight reel of their life, somebody that you know to their core that has the same values that, you know, you look up to. If you're out with them and they do something for somebody, like let's say somebody drops their scarf and they're walking away and then they run behind them and say, oh, you dropped your scarf. Somebody like that who instills these values, that's like a good human being that you genuinely look up to. I think these are the people that you need to model and mimic. And you don't necessarily need to have a chat with them and be like, are you going to be my mentor? Can you be my mentor?
Right. Somebody,
this is a bit aggressive, and some people might get a little bit like not anxious, but just like overwhelmed with the idea of being in such like a powerful position. But it's somebody that you can just study, essentially. So whoever you look up to and you want to model their behavior of where they've been, because success leaves clues, right? That's what Tony Robbins says all the time. So somebody who you want to follow in that realm.
How do you manage? So you had mentioned that your family doesn't always understand what you're doing, or, you know, isn't quite connecting the dots, or may say things that they don't intend to be, you know, upsetting or whatever. How do you manage that? Like, what suggestions do you have for dealing with things that families say that may come from a really good place and intention, but don't land quite right? And then how do you recalibrate yourself so that you don't take that in and be upset?
Yeah, it can definitely be a trigger for sure, because, you know, you automatically think why aren't you supporting me and loving me the way that I want to be supported and loved? But I think we need to look at it from a different perspective, that they're looking at it through a different lens, a different perspective. Mm-hmm. So what they've been through in their life is totally different than the path that you're on, right? So maybe they had a friend who was in business and they lent them money and then it went downhill, right? So there's so many things that could be behind why they're saying certain things. So I think taking a deep breath has definitely really helped me avoid certain situations and handle myself with more grace, but also just taking a deep breath and just realizing that they're coming from a different perspective, right? And as much as it might be hurtful, it's generally not to hurt you. Your family should not want to be negative and toxic and stuff like that. And, you know, if they are, then just remove yourself from that situation. But yeah, I usually follow up with, how can I provide you more information to make you feel more comfortable?
Oh, that's a really good approach. Yeah.
Yeah. And generally it kind of catches them off guard a little bit. And they're like, I don't know. Just tell me more about like what you do. So then you kind of go down that rabbit hole and there's more questions and whatnot. But it's nice to be asked about what I'm doing as well too, and interacting more as well, because that can be really lonely on this journey of being an entrepreneur sometimes. You feel like you're all by yourself. So the beauty of an online community, when we can't find that comfort in family, is there's a beautiful online community like LinkedIn, or, you know, wherever you show up, Facebook groups and whatnot, where your people are there for you waiting to support you as well. So, you know, you always have that to fall back on. So I kind of have that in the back of my mind as well.
That makes sense. And so as your business is further developing now, what kinds of challenges do you face in terms of what your mind is telling you? Like, what are the messages that you're getting as you're continuing on your entrepreneurial journey now?
Yeah, I think with our team, sometimes it can be really difficult because, you know, we have so many great ideas and, you know, I think everybody has value to contribute, but often it's really hard to listen to your gut, and we almost want to silence that little voice inside, even though, you know, you have that feeling, I think we need to go this direction.
Yeah.
But everybody's like, we're going in this direction with the market. This is what everybody else is doing. Let's just do this, right?
Yeah.
And so a hard lesson that I've learned in my business and where we're going, a few times we've gone in the direction of the market. Uh-huh. And then we should have followed, and eventually we did, but we should have gone with the gut and just following our heart and going with, you know, where our mind is trying to lead us. Because I think when we resist that path, it just makes it like 10 times harder, but we don't really realize it in the moment necessarily.
I think that's so true. So do you have any exercises that enable you to tune into your gut? I ask this because I do. So I'm just curious to know if you do too.
Yeah, I'd be interested to hear yours. For mine, definitely working out helps, just to like silence everything. I'm going to sound like a serial killer, but I drive in silence sometimes. Just like no radio, nothing. It's just like me in the car, just like this. But I have conversations with myself, and it's really great. I don't have voices or anything, but
no, I know what you mean. There,
but in the silence, and there's just something so beautiful about the white noise, the cars going by, and just like focusing on obviously driving, but having this conversation, thinking, okay, in this meeting, you know, so-and-so said we should do this. I don't know if I want to go this way. And that little voice pops up and becomes a little bit louder because you don't have that cognitive load of all of the noise that's happening, right? We get in the car, we turn on the radio automatically. I love music, so I naturally want to kind of go to where it's at. Yeah. But intentionally being silent and being bored almost with myself, like just putting myself in this kind of meditative state. And I do believe in meditating too, but you know, it definitely kind of raises the volume on my gut. And that's where I try and put myself in different positions where I can silence everything else, so I can hear that inner voice.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's also what I do. I do it in a variety of ways. I mean, one of the ways for me that works actually is cleaning. When I say that, people are like, oh, I hate cleaning. But I love to clean. Yeah. I go into my Zen place and I work things out. Also, I find exercise. But another thing I do actually sometimes have conversations out loud with myself. because I find that if you ask yourself, what do I really think about this? You get the right answer. Because when you're asking yourself, you're asking your deep inner knowing and you're shutting out other people's opinions. And I think so often it's other people's opinions or things we read or watch or listen to that can steer us towards the market as opposed to towards our gut. And I think that the answer is always in the gut. So yeah, I love that you have conversations with yourself too. I know exactly what you mean.
They're so valuable. They are. They really are.
Yeah, I go to a park sometimes very early in the morning and there's usually nobody there. And so then I'll talk out loud. And then occasionally I'll run into somebody and I'll be like, oh, I'm just thinking out a business idea.
All good.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so is there anything that you would like to offer to our audience or tell our audience about StaffNet or anything like that?
Yeah. So if anybody's an entrepreneur, basically what we do is we automate your day. So we want to save time and effort on your part. And it was solving my pain point. So now I save around 10 hours a week being able to set the automations in place. Yeah. So that's like employee scheduling, sending out our preset messages so that they're going to be sent to the team. So there's no hiccups or mix-ups and stuff like that. Removing human error. So you're doing the job once. So this would be client follow-ups as well, you know, not acting as the middleman anymore. Sales calls, scheduling those, project management as well. So these are just a few of the features that we do have. And through automating the process of your day, you're able to focus on where you want to drive your business. And you're able to take more time to silence your mind, if you will, and have these conversations with yourself so that you can figure out where you want to take your business. Because when there's so many things going on in your business, it's you come last. And for a while, I put myself last because everything was like a dumpster fire that I had to put out, right?
Yeah, I understand.
And it's so hard to not prioritize that over yourself. But eventually, you know, if you do have the time to allocate towards yourself and you're able to get that through leveraging time and obviously the tools, you're able to grow your business, but also grow as like a person as well through that. So it's a beautiful journey.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being on here today. For all of our listeners, so for people who are watching this on video, you'll see we've got a little ticker at the bottom that's got StaffNet's website, and they offer a 14-day trial. And for people listening, all of this information will be in the show notes. So Jenna, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate our conversation and your journey is so interesting. And I wish you just the very, very best success.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Okay, everyone, we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening. If you found this content helpful, please like, comment, and share across your social media. Are you sick of mind clock clocking up your days? Book a free initial consult with me at mindcluck.com and let's silence it. Thanks and have a great week.